Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
Moncrief on News Talk.
You'll see sports people do it. We all do it, in fact. The vast majority of us have some sort of ritual that we practice, say, before we undertake a particular task, or even just at the start of the day. Michael Norton is a behavioural scientist at Harvard and the author of The Ritual Effect, the transformative power of our everyday actions. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon.
So could you start by perhaps explaining what you mean when you say a ritual? What's the difference between a ritual and just a habit?
Can I ask you a kind of silly question?
Of course.
When you get ready in the morning, do you brush your teeth first and then shower, or do you shower and then brush your teeth?
I brush my teeth and then shower.
Brush your teeth and then shower. So
yeah.
Weirdly, about half of people do it that order and half of people do it the other order. We haven't decided as humans. But the real question is, tomorrow, if I said, do it in the opposite order, would that be fine with you, or would you feel a little weird about it?
I'd feel a little weird about it. Not like I can't move now. Please, somebody call an ambulance weird, but it would feel strange, yes.
Yeah, so about half of people say, why would I care what order I do them in? I'm just brushing my teeth and showering. And half of people are a little like you, where they say, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but I'd feel weird. I'd feel off. I wouldn't feel ready to start the day. Mm. And to me, that's a little bit the difference between habits and rituals, because habits are kind of the, I need to do these things, but I don't really care what order I do them in. I just need to get them done. But as soon as you start to care about the order and the exact way you do them, and then you have to have coffee and then the newspaper, and that makes you feel something, then we're moving toward it being more of a ritual. Not ritual like people in robes with candles, you know, that's further down the continuum, but just this idea that the way we do things matters to us a lot and gives us a lot of emotions. That's when we start to see things being a little bit more of a ritual.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, that kind of, if I'm thinking about my morning now, up until the time I take a shower, I do things in a particular order. I'm not going to make this all about me, but I do things in a particular order, particularly when I first get up. I'm usually first up in the house. I like that bit of quiet before other people get up. And I would feel strange if. So can what is ostensibly a habit turn into a ritual? Does it depend on the amount of meaning you invest in it?
That's exactly right. So it's funny because the same person can be doing different people can be doing the exact same thing. And for one person, it matters to them. Like for you, it matters to you, the order. And for other people, they couldn't care less. So it is actually about, it's not that rituals are, you know, clapping 1,000 times and that's a ritual. It's more, as you said, that we take pretty common, boring actions, but we turn them into something that has a little bit more meaning.
Mm. And is that meaning, what is that meaning? Can that meaning vary?
It really does. I mean, if people who say, you know, I don't do any ritual, I was a ritual skeptic too, just to be clear, till I started studying it. But, you know, people who say, I don't have any rituals, that's not really for me. I always ask them, you know, have you ever made a cake that looks really good? And then before you eat it, you stick a bunch of candles in it and light them on fire so the wax gets all over the cake, and then put the cake in front of somebody, maybe like a kid who has a cold, and have them blow all over the cake and then eat the cake. And of course, we've all done that. It's a birthday cake. But what are we doing there? Cake is good by itself, let's be honest. But when we add this ritualistic element, we sing to the person, we celebrate them, we wish them well. They make a wish that may come true. You know, this really simple thing of candles and cake becomes a huge celebration with our family.
Mm. So for things like birthdays or funerals or weddings, they're public rituals. And I assume, you know, there's a vital part of that is it cements people together to a certain degree because it's a shared ritual. So is that quite different? Because the meaning of that might be more or less the same for everybody. Whereas if you have a personal ritual, is the meaning of that just peculiar to you?
Very often that is the case. So when I started studying this topic, I was thinking I would be studying the kind that are passed down to us, maybe from our faith, maybe from our culture, maybe from our family, the kind that we do together and that bring us together. But when we started asking people about their own rituals, they said, yes, I definitely do all of those, but I also do these other little things. And for me, it was the other little things that got very interesting. Even with the pre-performance idea, you know, Rafael Nadal and Serena Williams do crazy things before they serve. I don't do that, but a lot of us will do something like, if we have a big meeting, we'll go into the bathroom before, make sure nobody's in there, and talk to ourselves in the mirror. So people were, you know, almost confessing this idea that, you know what, I do have these little funny, I do care if I brush my teeth first. And that was very interesting to see these private ones that actually people had come up with themselves. They were freelancing a little bit.
Yeah, that's so, now that is interesting. Before I do this show, I always make a point of going to the toilet first. Now, I used to work in television, so I had this ritual before I go into a studio to go to the toilet first, but also check my fly, because obviously not a good look. But I still do that, but I'm on radio. I mean, I can have no pants on and no one to know, but I still have that little ritual of doing that.
So I love that.
Is it kind of connected to security somehow?
A lot of them are, actually. I mean, as you get older and older, I think one of the things you realize is pretty much nothing is in your control. You know, we'd like to think we're running the show, but, you know, lots just happening around us. And I do think that one of the things that we use to get some semblance of order or control are rituals. They're these, we can rely on them. You know, they happen every year on this date, or I do the same thing every morning. They give us this feeling of regularity that I think can often be really helpful for us in a world that otherwise is completely crazy and hectic.
Yeah. Is it magical thinking to a degree? Or is there an intersection there at least?
It's interesting that, you know, the actions themselves aren't the... So we didn't discover, you know, if you turn around six times and clap twice, then something happens. You know, it really is this idea that you believe it, that this has meaning and that this has emotion in it. And so it does overlap with magical thinking. Superstitions, for example, are a type of ritual. You know, don't walk under a ladder, bad luck if you break a mirror, knock on wood or touch wood. We know on some level that probably doesn't do anything. You know, we're aware that maybe knocking on wood doesn't ward off terrible things, but we kind of like to do it anyway, just in case. And that is a little bit magical thinking. You could see it as kind of a mistake that we're making because it isn't true. But for me, if we're trying to feel some sense of control in our lives, we don't have other great ways to do it. I think rituals are actually really sensible.
Yeah. When you were doing, you know, when you've done research into this, are people sometimes loath to admit that they do these things? Because for that very reason, we like to think we're in control of our lives rather than relying on gestures or rituals that actually have no effect on our lives in the real world.
Definitely. In fact, I teach a class here at Harvard, and one of the things I'll ask people on the first day is, you know, do you have any rituals? And there's dead silence. You know, nobody will admit that they have one. Then one brave person will say, you know, well, actually, you know, I'm a football player, and before every match, I do this and this and this. And then everyone else, it's like they've been released to share these rituals that they've been doing for years. They are something that we keep private. We do know on some level that they're a little bit nonsensical, and yet they really matter to us and they make a difference in our lives.
Yeah. If you think too much about them, I wonder, do they kind of lose their power?
We have seen sometimes when you perform a ritual intentionally, it can bring more meaning to it. So if you think of something like yoga or meditation, there you really want to be only focused on the ritual. But it's also the case, for example, that your rituals can become too complicated and they can start to mess you up. So there are athletes that have lots of rituals before they perform. And some of them actually start doing so many things that it kind of gets in their head. And all they're thinking about is, am I doing this thing right? Instead of, maybe I should go out and actually try to win this game.
That's fascinating. Michael, I do have to leave it there. I just realized my fly's open. Michael Norton is a behavioral scientist and professor of business administration at Harvard Business School and author of The Ritual Effect, The Transformative Power of Our Everyday Actions.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii. But we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part or roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.americanloghomesandcabins.com.